Psalm 15. Now, for those of you who don't know, the book of Psalms was actually Israel's song book, S-O-N-G. Most of these psalms were sung. And it was an expression of not only praise and worship to God, but it was also an expression of godly principles. Amen. And so they would take what was revealed by the Holy Spirit, and they would sing these songs that talk about the mercy, the grace, the goodness of God, and the principles of God. Amen. That's why we do what we do after we take up our offering in the morning. Have everybody make a confession. What point is there in doing that? You're acknowledging godly principles.
All right.
And when you acknowledge what God's word has to say, then you cause that principle to become active and powerful in your life. And that is true with any principle that God's word declares. You know, if you struggle in a certain area with a certain habit, you need to find scripture that covers that case and start confessing who you are. Are you with me? And I've done it for decades. It's second nature to me. I have no problem opening up my mouth and saying, no, in Jesus' name, I'm free from sin. Are you with me?
Amen.
Because I'm acknowledging every good thing that's in me in Christ Jesus.
All right.
And when you do that, that good thing that's in you becomes active and powerful in your life.
Amen.
That's when you are wielding the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Remember that series I did on the armor of God?
Amen.
The sword of the Spirit, that two-edged Makira sword. Well, two-edged, the word edged in the Greek is actually distomos, and it doesn't refer to the edge of a blade. It refers to literally a two-mouthed sword. So God's word becomes a weapon in your mouth when you take what God has said, there's edge number one or mouth number one, and you acknowledge it through your lips. Now that's mouth or edge number two, and it becomes a powerful weapon in your hand. Remember in the book of Revelation, John saw Jesus and he said, he described what he looked like, and he said he was seated on his horse, and out of his mouth came a two-edged sword. Not out of his hand, his mouth. So when you put God's word in your mouth, it becomes a deadly instrument that you can use to defeat the enemy or defeat your flesh.
All right, yes.
Are y'all with me?
Yes.
And that's not even my lesson.
Amen. All right.
Psalm 15. Psalm 15. We'll start with verse 1. Notice what it says. Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He that backbites not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honors them that fear the Lord. He that swears to his own hurt and changes not. He that puts not out his money to usury, nor takes reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved.
Amen.
Now, there's a principle that we need to understand as Christians. And it is enunciated in this passage very well. But if we want to take advantage of all of the goodness and grace that God has afforded to us, then there are certain things that we need to do. There are certain ways we need to conduct ourselves. And we can all identify with longing for the presence of God. I mean, if you're truly a Christian, if you're truly born again, You want to experience God's presence. Am I right?
Yes.
You want to live in a position where all of God's grace is available to you. I heard a teacher years ago, and he called it walking under an open heaven. And there are expressions, and I've heard people say things in the past about, you know, I prayed and the heaven was like brass and I couldn't get through, and all these things that people say when they don't know how to operate by faith. And we don't want to be in a position where we pray and nothing happens.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Where we petition the Lord and nothing's going on. And so this is one of the principles that we need to understand if we want to walk in God's abundant provision. Notice verse 1 again. Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Now, the Old Testament tabernacle was nothing more than a big tent. But in that tent dwelt the presence of God. And every male in Israel was required once a year to present himself before the presence of the Lord. It was a requirement, not a suggestion. It was a requirement. And in the tabernacle, that's where God's presence dwelt, and men received direction, insight, healing, grace, anything that they needed. They got it from the presence of God. So here we see a little different slant on that concept of the tabernacle, and he says here, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? The word abide literally means to settle down and live someplace. Who shall abide?